Hi, my name is Dipshit. You can call me Dippy. I only have one real responsibility on this podcast, and that's to get the levels right before we record, and I didn't do that this time. So if you want to call me stupid, you're damn Skippy. That song could use some work. And so could this podcast, really, to be honest with you. Hi there, everybody. It's Andy. And something funny happened on our way to a podcast. Larry Morgan and I, we sit down to do this podcast, and we have only pure intentions. We sit down and we check our levels. You'll hear us do that maybe a little bit here. And then we get started. And the thing is, it's recording. And waveform is being created, as it always is, on my computer. So I proceed. You'll see, you'll listen. There's one time when I tap on the VU meter. I say, something's wrong here. But we just keep going. It was not the microphones in front of us that were capturing sound. It was an ambient microphone in the room that was picking up everything. Now, I have salvaged, I think it's pretty listenable audio, and I took the phone calls that came in and added those back into the mix, so you'll hear everything that happens. It's just going to sound like, you know, it's happening over at the neighbor's house a little bit. So from our hearts to your ears, please accept my personal apology and my pledge to never let this horseshit happen again, and enjoy this edition of Your Artificial Friends.
Does that sound good? Is that good level?
Sounds good to me.
Good level?
You sound amazing and resonant.
You got good level?
yeah.
Neil Young version.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast, and your artificial friends will be sued.
No, it'd have to be better to be sued.
That was the Stills and Young version. Yeah.
Stillborn.
I jumped in with a little Stephen Stills.
Larry Morgan.
How you
as
doing?
I live and breathe.
Yeah, it's
Larry
been
Morgan's
a bit.
Here, everybody.
Happy New Year, and a much belated thank you for the Andy Chanley Coffee Roasting Company gift that I got for the holidays. We enjoyed it immensely.
Did you?
Over the last several weeks.
You made the coffee. Did it make you poop?
You know, I didn't notice that it made me poop more or at a more prodigious rate or faster than any other. I mean, right. I drink coffee all the time. Let me ask you this. Was it specifically roasted and designed to make me poop?
No, I've heard that from other people. It's like, wow, that just a whiff of that coffee.
And really?
I had to drink it on the toilet.
I have never had anyone say that to me about any coffee they've ever, I mean, we all know that coffee can be a diuretic,
yeah.
But I've never heard anyone just completely volunteer, hey, you know what? Those coffee beans made me poop.
Well, it's been a while since I roasted, and mm-hmm. My best friend, he would come over, and we would screen write together.
Yeah.
And I would make my coffee, and I'd like often do it in a French press.
Yeah.
And it was like kryptonite. just hearing it clank in the kitchen,
yeah.
It got to the point where the Pavlovian response was he had to head to the head.
Wow, how are you making your coffee? what is there? Because I mean, look, I understand. Again, I know the chemical makeup of coffee can cause the body to have a certain reaction.
Yeah.
But man, you seem to have a real connection to coffee and pooping that I've just never heard talked about that much.
It works for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever works, man. And you seem to be quite...
Don't talk to my bowels until I've had their coffee.
All right. Well, let's talk about your... You seem quite sprightly and ambulatory
today. Thanks a bunch for that. Let me start by saying that Josh Fligger is getting a hot water heater installed.
Yes. So that's his assignment today. What would Sam Farmer be doing this week?
What could he be? He's heading to the Pro Bowl and... Well, maybe not the Pro Bowl.
I think he's on the way to Atlanta.
Super Bowl, yeah.
Going to the big game.
The big game.
I don't think the NFL's going to come down on us here.
The NFL. Yeah, I don't think they know about us. But, he's doing that game, and he should be back soon. Yeah. We're hoping, because he tells us that he misses us.
He seems, as much as you can glean sincerity from a text, and Sam doesn't seem to be the type who would, send us all something and then been standing there going, but they bought that bullshit. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. He seems to actually genuinely miss us.
Yeah,
and there are two reactions that I have. That's lovely and sweet, one, and two... Why would he miss us?
Yeah, it's bizarre. Because you're not likable.
Not at all.
Anyway, back to your question.
I'm here.
Thanks for asking. I am moving around pretty well.
Yeah, you look great.
For anybody that just spun the podcast roulette wheel and has no idea, I had surgery on my hip, my right hip, on December 19th. Yeah. And I'm no longer using a cane for the most part.
I'm just
moving around. At home, for most of this last week, for the last week or so, when I was at home, I would just kind of hobble around, I wasn't using the cane at all in the confines of the house. And it would just be when I left the house to go do something. And when I go out to Cal State Northridge, to 88.5, it's about a quarter mile from where I park to the office.
Bit of a walk, yeah.
Yeah, I got to walk through the orange grove and all that kind of stuff. And so in doing that, I can limp and get there, but I can walk more properly with the cane.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by not walking the right way with it. If I'm going that far... I can hobble through and get it done, but is that good for me? Wouldn't it be better to walk the correct way and get stronger and stronger? So anyway, I don't know. But on Wednesday, I forgot my cane. I've just forgot it. And I guess that's a good sign when you go out to the car and you get the kids in the car to go to drop them off to school that I didn't even think I needed the cane.
You're not feeling as reliant on it.
Right.
How'd that walk go?
Fine to drop them off, but then I get over and I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stop once or twice and catch my breath and before I could continue.
Wow.
And then the next day, Thursday, forgot my fucking cane again.
Oh, man.
And people are like, hey, you must be feeling great. I'm like, nope, forgot my cane. So, no, not only do I make them feel stupid, but I look like an idiot. And then on Friday... Proud of that? On Friday, I'm getting ready to leave the house. And why is this other side not working? The view meter here is not. Anyway, on Friday, I'm looking at the cane, and I'm like, do I want this or not? I've done it 2 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I'm remembering to forget the cane.
Yeah, right. Do I want to push myself and see if I can hang with it?
And I decided to leave it behind.
Oh.
So I guess that says something about my confidence. But can I just tell you, Friday it hurt worse than ever. That's the way it goes. So,
your body's trying to heal, and part of you is kind of wanting to speed that along. But you're right. What's the balance between doing yourself a disservice or pushing yourself, and is the pain just part of the healing process. And I guess, you know, you're not going to know, but it's you look like you're getting around a little better. Does this give you a greater appreciation for generally being an able-bodied person?
Yes.
Yeah.
I long for it.
Yeah.
That's like if I sit for a couple hours, mm-hmm. by the end of it, I try to get up and I'm stiff and, mm-hmm. and
yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wow. Trying to bring some levity into this when I can.
So, yeah, I'm anxious for it. The great thing is, once again, the other hip is starting to hurt a little bit.
No, it's not.
It is.
No,
it
is all in your imagination. No,
the doctor said, he showed me the x-rays at, you know, during the operation, and he said, we're noticing changes in the other one.
Oh, jeez.
A little bit of, you know, calcification around the edges.
Just goes to show you, Andy, you are too hip.
Oh.
Just too hip.
I'm going to forget you ever said that.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, just the idea of getting on, like, an elliptical and going for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour, right. and that it feels like that's in reach.
Yeah.
And I'm hungry for it because I haven't worked out. Like
ever, right?
Ever.
So
no, seriously, without limitation, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, 15 months, something like that.
Well, you know, as dumb as it is, we talked about, we're back to the ailments show. You know, that's just that stupid plantar fasciitis.
Oh, yeah, how's that going?
Much, much, much better.
Did you get some implants?
I did get some implants. That's a completely different story.
Inserts, I'm
saying. Yes, I basically have been wearing nothing but orthotic support in my shoes since we've had that talk. And I will probably never stop now because it feels so much better than wearing stupid normal shoes.
Right.
That limited me so much in terms of, because I walk everywhere. You know, right now, during the week, I live very somewhat close to where I work.
Yeah.
And so make myself kind of do a long walk around the block. So I'm kind of getting my steps in and stuff. And I like running. And it's just, it really limited that. And so try to, you know, make up for it in other ways. But it's just to have pain when you walk and stand. I like standing when I'm on the air. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore. And it just makes me feel decrepit. And so I'm so happy to be somewhat kind of feeling more normal again.
Good news. I'm glad you're feeling better. Did you get those done with your doctor, or did you just go get...
No, I didn't end up going to a doctor because it was getting better because I was taking care of it. No, I ordered some stuff online that was very highly rated and has done the trick.
Okay.
And also I got some, like, they have, like, these compression socks you can wear. I mean, I did the whole bit. Also, yeah, so nobody cares about my feet.
Sweet. No, I
love... But if you do, call me.
I love your feet.
Okay. Would you like to see it?
No.
One of them?
But, good news for you.
Yeah.
From my experience, I had it really bad. Like, to the point where I would get up in the morning and I would, like, you know.
It's especially painful in the morning.
Crumple to the ground because it hurts a bit. Yeah, because you're, when you sleep, you know, that everything tightens.
It all contracts.
Yeah. I feel so much better.
Yeah, good.
So much better. Like, I can, in the summer now, you know, go to the beach and wear flip-flops for a day and not want to die the next day. It practically healed itself, and I'm sure I'm more susceptible to it in the future. But the good news is that you can get to the other side of it. And I suffered with it for a long time, like years.
I am looking forward to the day where we do this podcast, maybe this summer.
Well, I tell you,
where we're not talking about some form of ailment that's slowed us down.
It's a pain in the thigh. I can tell with the weather change. It's from this ball I caught in Vicksburg. I got a twinge.
Is this just us for the rest of our lives? Yeah. It's just another thing that's going to crop up?
Ugh. Let's change the subject.
Good.
Talking about Sam, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl is set.
How exciting.
With the Los Angeles Rams.
Right.
And the New England Patriots.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
It has been some time. You've lived how long here in the Southern California area now?
Almost 22 years.
Right. So we have seen our share of championship teams because the Lakers have gone through periods of you know, their dynasties, you know, with Kobe being here. We've had the Kings and the Ducks have both had their moments. USC has had a period with Pete Carroll that was exceptionally good.
Yes.
UCLA basketball has always had a tradition.
Yes, and even the Dodgers and the Lakers have, well, Lakers, of course.
Right.
But the Dodgers also have had moments of greatness.
Yes. And so, a lot of talk before we got these two NFL teams in this area, whether anybody would care.
Right.
So, I'm wondering, one of our local teams is in the freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are you feeling it?
And the other team was in the playoffs.
Yeah. Are you feeling it out there? Is it, I mean, I know people are excited about it, but does it feel like people care? Is it going to be this week that things ramp up? You know what I mean? It's like when the Lakers were kind of winning championships, you would see Lakers flags on cars and people were wearing Kobe jerseys everywhere. And it's like, I don't know if I'm getting that yet. Is it too new?
I think that LA doesn't do that.
Yeah.
I think LA doesn't do it before the fact.
Okay.
You know, unless it's the, you know, were the days of the Raiders, which Raider fans are missing a chromosome.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal. We should actually just round them up, put them in a camp, and keep them separate. I mean, I'm not a racist.
But you want to...
That's a group, I think.
Internment?
Yeah. Yeah, is there a whole Australia situation where we can just kind of put them on their own little island somewhere? Yeah,
that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think LA...
I'm not feeling it.
I don't think LA does that ahead of... Well, they kind of do for the Lakers.
But that's what I'm saying. You see it everywhere. Maybe it's just Dodgers. It's still so new.
I think that's a big part of it. That people aren't... They don't trust it. They're not ready for it.
Do we need to win more, you know, a few Super Bowls before people are, like, just really into it? Because I know people who've lived here even longer than you or I who go back to L.A. Rams and when they were playing in Anaheim and that era and have... You know, try to stay loyal, but you know how it's tough when your team moves away to a different city, and especially with the situation that it was with Georgia and all. You know, she was not the most loved Rams owner of all time, and now that they're back, I have a really good friend, my friend Pete Siegel, the director, who has always been a Rams fan, and he is just ecstatic that they're back, and this is amazing for him. Well, I know very few people like that who are feeling it.
Here's the thing. It's almost like they're not really back. They're at the Coliseum,
right?
Number one,
that's not their long-term home.
It's not their home. It's, you know, you can't put posters on the wall because you're gonna have to spackle when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their permanent place,
right?
And
it's not like they've lived here in this community.
No,
yeah.
And I think that also, you know, new coach, and there's been years of distrust, of disinterest in the Rams anyway, because of the Fisher era. And on top of that, it's not priced for the casual fan the way it used to be priced.
Right.
You know, to just to get the privilege of buying season tickets... To pay the what do they call it, the seat licensing fee or whatever, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What is it? It's like $150,000 or some shit.
I don't know the numbers. I know it's outside of my.
It's outrageous.
Right.
It's outrageous.
Right.
And I think that there are people that have season tickets now who are like, you know, there are even people who I've heard someone say these words. You know, 80,000 maybe. You know, I'm like. But 150,000, you got to be, you know, I mean, it's like a small fortune. Okay. But that's like a real fortune. And I think that the average person is priced out of the intimate fan experience.
Intimate fan experience. Sure. But every game is available on television every week. And like I say, I do see people getting into it now that it's close. I mean, we've talked over at my radio station at K-Earth of talking about, you know, hiring something that we call the bandwagon to go around and ask people to jump on with their Rams stuff.
Nice.
And in a way, I kind of feel that way because when the Rams move back, I don't have an allegiance to an NFL team. I haven't really cared for a long time. I grew up as a Cowboys fan.
Right.
I got over that really quick when I moved away. And so I kind of lived in the Bay Area when the 49ers were great. They were fun to watch, but I didn't stick with that. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really had a team. So when the Rams move back, and they sucked. I said, great, this is a good time to get in. I'm going to be a Rams fan because they're here and they're not good. And when they get good, I can say, you know what? I've been with them since 2014 or whatever it was. And so now they're in the freaking Super Bowl already. And I'm like, wow, I'm very I'm personally very invested.
In the third season back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And that was the, you know, I saw something. I distinctly remember, and I like putting it in his face whenever I get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Sam Farber. In 2017, not this last summer, but the summer before, first season with Sean McVay, the new coach, I see him out there. Like, the first thing I see when I sit down in the bleachers of practice was I see him playing cornerback opposite Robert Woods.
McVay.
Yeah. He was out there running with him. He had his clipboard, and he's running backwards, and he's, you know, checking him at 5 yards, and then, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I've never, never seen a NFL coach who was capable of that.
Yeah, just physically.
Just physically fit enough to do it.
Right.
They may have been at one time.
They may have been football players at one time.
But they ain't now.
No.
And number one, that he was capable of it. Number two, that he was out there doing it himself.
Yeah.
Showing his player exactly what he wanted and making eye contact and coming to an understanding. I saw that moment and I'm like, maybe I'm blowing this out of proportion, but I'd want to play for a guy like that.
Well, see, I saw that when Pete Carroll, to a certain extent, still kind of does that. But when he was at USC, Pete Carroll had that same kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And he was in there in the mix, and he was, you know, winging balls back and forth. And he was out there kind of running the plays and being active and being. And it was that same kind of energy where it was like people who played for him were like intensely loyal to him.
Yeah.
And I think he still exudes that a little bit. It's a little harder at the professional level, but he's done a pretty good job.
He's still cool
doing that. And that, I think that's the new breed of coach. I think the guy who stands there quietly, I mean, the antithesis of that is Belichick, who's just a freaking robot.
Right.
And but he's a different, but I think he still commands a certain amount, a degree of loyalty, but it's a very different energy.
He does,
but the guy's just kind of standing there and being being technicians and being, you know, like strapped to your headphones with your play calling in front of your face and literally standing like a statue for 3.5-4 hours. I don't know how you get behind that guy. You rely on your staff.
It's fear, I think. It's fear-based. Yeah. It's, you know, it's from a very Darth Vader point of view where you're just worried that he's going to, you know, do the force choke on someone if they don't do what he says.
Right.
But I saw that you know, summer before mm-hmm. the first season with McVay, and I'm like, I think these guys are going to want to play for him.
Yeah.
And I think that they're going to surprise people. They could win half their games this because they've got Gurley. They've got they've had all of these incredible, you know, set pieces. And
Goff got better, and
Goff got better, and
had a big
and Cooper
part of
Kupp, and you know, all of these players that came, some good rookies,
that guy
on defense,
Aaron Donald. Yeah,
it looked to me like if these guys really wanted to play and they congealed around this guy, that they were going to be all right.
That's why I think this. That's why I want people to be more excited. And again, maybe I'm just missing it because I'm really excited about this because I think this could be a very dominant team going forward
for a long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, because they're all just going to get better, and all they have to do is improve their defense just a little bit more and have a little more depth. I think they've, you know, found that when they have somebody to back up Gurley, who's pretty good, they can be freaking crazy good.
How old is Goff? 25? 24?
And he's just showing. I mean, he gets better all the time.
Yeah.
If he continues to improve and get smarter, that's going to be a really dominant team. And and McVay clearly knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And more than anything in the world, I just want to see the Patriots go down. I want them to be beaten so badly. I'm one of those guys.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I want to do a Mark Thompson, get to my knee, and sweet little baby Jesus. You listening?
Yeah.
I want it in the worst possible way. Yeah. Let me switch gears.
All right.
I should let you know, we have some face bag to get to.
Oh, exciting. I love it when our audience of nine weighs in.
If you ran across anything on Facebook, feel free to share it. I have a few phone calls that we need to get to.
Oh, great.
Before we're done here. But I want to switch to your bag.
I'm sorry?
To your area of passion and expertise.
Yes.
Because you're more of an indoor kid.
I do not deny that. And by the way, that's why my lovely complexion has stayed so youthful. Yeah.
What's your secret?
Well,
is it a mask every night?
Well, that's Saturday night.
By the way, we've got to get around to talking about. I drove through.
Yes,
Cambria.
Oh.
Cambria.
No, you're
Cambria.
You drove through the area in which I own a home.
Yeah. It was lovely.
I wish we had a chance
to connect. Now I know why you live up there.
It was bad timing. But did you guys have a good time? Actually, you went further north up into Big Sur.
Yeah.
Which actually is, after all the rains, it's actually difficult to get to right now. It's I think the one is still closed off because of
that. Is it really?
Yeah. They had another
slide. Rock walls
They might have opened it by now. I haven't checked in a bit. But so you guys, the timing was perfect.
Everything was perfect.
It looked gorgeous because... Yeah. We have not made that trek. We've gone up to Carmel, kind of the roundabout way,
right,
because the one has been closed for so long. But man, you guys found some amazing
places. And it just timed out. Everything was perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
And you just beat the rain by like this much.
Just beat the rain. And as we're driving out the day that it's raining,
mm-hmm.
We go by Pfeiffer Beach.
Yes.
And they say to see the purple sand, it's best right after a rain. We pull up, the rain stops for 45 minutes for us to get out there and see it, and then we get back in the car and starts raining.
It's kind of magical.
Everything
right?
was magical.
I mean,
it was really perfect.
Central Coast is a little bit, and Big Sur, people know about Big Sur, but that's kind of a best-kept secret. You know, people talk about certain coastlines and go to Northern California, but that's a gorgeous
area. Laura and I were both talking. You know, we've been to other countries and seen coastline in, around the world, and it's hard to beat that, man.
Yeah, and then you drive through that wine country, and you could easily swear you're in some kind of European, you know, you see those, the vineyards and the beautiful,
wine. There's wine country in California?
Oh, Paso Robles?
I'm going to have to write that down.
Oh, my God. It's lovely.
It's to die for.
Anyway, sorry I missed you guys, but, but come back.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you're not.
No, I am.
No, you were there. You were there.
Oh,
you
hi, does my voice have to go for you to be convinced?
You were there. You just had your feet up, and you didn't want to see us.
No, if you had texted us on that Saturday to say, hey, let's connect. Or I almost said hook up, but I didn't want you to take that the wrong way.
Hi-oh.
Anyway, you were
going to
say...
I was going to get to...
Because I'm an indoor kid, and I have a lovely complexion, and I moisturize. That's the answer.
It's award season.
Oh, yeah. I just... Actually, everybody also check out my Snark Monkey Oscar Reaction and Prediction podcast.
All right.
With a group of very interesting folks, including some bona fide film critics who weigh in on their reactions and predictions.
Hmm.
What's your question, sir?
Any surprises for Oscar snubs or inclusions?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of covered those in the media. Bradley Cooper not getting nominated for Best Director, which...
Did you see the movie?
Oh, yeah.
A Star Is
I've
Born.
Seen pretty much all of the nominees, with the exception of The Wife with Glenn
Close.
Did
you like the Star Is Born?
I did. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Me too, because I don't particularly care for Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected to like her as much as I did. And when the movie first started getting a bunch of attention, it was like at the end of the summer,
mm-hmm.
beginning of the fall. So it got a lot of hype coming out of the film festivals at the time. And on the surface, I was like, I have no interest in that movie. And then people kept kind of raving about it, and it was getting good scores or whatever. And I was like, well, maybe it's better than I thought. And it took me this long. It took me a SAG after a screener to actually, you know, finally sit down and watch it. And it's formula, because that story always mm-hmm. has been. It is a remake of a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an age-old story, which I knew where it was going every second, because they didn't necessarily depart that much from the original blueprint. But having said that, I was really affected by quite a bit of it. And I think to his credit, Bradley Cooper as a director did a nice job. It had this kind of very, like, almost Altman-esque feel that it wasn't slick necessarily. There was a lot of handheld camera, and the live music scenes felt very authentic. Mm-hmm. And some of it was a little heavy-handed. It is a melodrama, but I think that's why it has wide appeal. I was pretty happy with that experience.
Well, I was telling Josh, the moment I knew I liked Bradley Cooper was when he was on Fallon doing the note perfect air guitar to Down by the River.
Right.
The entire solo. He seems like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
Here's what was most unbelievable about that movie.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay.
Most unbelievable about the movie A Star Is Born. There's no way that a man who drinks gin as prodigiously as his does has a six pack like that. There's no way.
Also, probably not going to be able to perform that great in the sack either. And apparently they seemed to have an enjoyable romp under the sheets.
His breath was not candy either.
Well, no, I think he probably stunk to high heaven. I mean, look at his, it didn't look like he had showered in ages. There's a lot of, I'm telling you, if anything should win an award for that movie, it's whoever was applying the mist of sweat on Bradley Cooper. Whoever that technician is, that behind the scenes person, give them everything because they made him look gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of looking gross, what did you think about...
Wow. I have no idea where this is going.
What did you think about Vice?
Oh.
People that haven't seen it, it's about Dick Cheney, and Christian Bale plays Dick Cheney.
Yeah. It's got an all-star cast. It's from Adam McKay, who directed it. He's the same guy who made The Big Short, a movie I liked very much.
And it's very much in that style.
It is.
Breaks the fourth wall.
And I think to its detriment. I think I would have liked to have seen the same story told a little bit more straightforward, because I think the power of that movie is the whole point of that movie, which is... we think we knew what that administration was, and we had no idea. Mm-hmm. And it is, in its own way, exposing, if you believe it, it's exposing what they saw as a real kind of manipulation of the electoral system for this very powerful guy. The problem is, because of the way it's made, it's got a little bit of that, a little too much, aware of itself, mm-hmm. breaking the fourth wall, a false ending at one point, some of these little tricks that he uses, and it diffuses the power a little bit of the story, which is frightening if it's all accurate. And I would have preferred, it could be a black comedy, but I would have preferred a more straightforward telling of it. And it also seems like so slanted that even I, as, just a full-on, liberal socialist goofball. Mm-hmm. Even I'm going like, it's a little. I love Christian Bale, by the way. And I think he'll win.
I think he was amazing.
That
was transformative.
That was worth. That's worth watching. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Amy Adams as Lynn Cheney was pretty good.
And Sam Rockwell as a cartoony George Bush is a delight to watch, even if it's not as immersive a performance as Christian Bale.
Yeah. But I think that's the thing. I think that they went so far to one side with it that you have to throw it up as satire for you to not get sued.
Yeah, and I get that. I think you could tell that story and either be like a full-on character study that is like really in-depth, that's really powerful and scary, or you do a sharper satire that doesn't rely on those kind of cinematic tricks that worked great in The Big Short and I don't think worked here.
Crazy Rich Asians. Surprised that it wasn't included?
Not necessarily surprised, because the Academy doesn't tend to go for big, frothy box office hits. Having said that, the fact that Bohemian Rhapsody got a Best Picture nomination kind of
that's a movie
goes
you were
against
lukewarm
that
on.
Point. I wasn't lukewarm on it, but it's also an extremely popular film that has some craft to it and a really exceptional lead performance, but that was a surprise to me that it got in. because it was it did get mixed reviews, but it's a purely popular movie, and I don't think it's one that's going to hold up over a long period of time. And my point, just to reiterate, is that I am a Queen fan. I have been a Queen fan. As a Queen fan, I would have liked a more creative presentation of what Freddie, and I don't think it lives up to Freddie's legacy.
Right. Well, and it was a little cartoony in parts where, I thought that...
It's a by-the-numbers biopic.
What's his name?
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek.
Yeah.
It had, like, some Forrest Gump moments in it. You know, like, when Forrest Gump's out running and he gets splattered with shit or whatever, and he wipes his face, and he hands the guy a thing, and it's a smiley face or whatever, and he's like, it happens. You know, and the guy's like, comes up with the shit happens
right,
sticker.
Right,
It seemed like there were a couple of moments like that in the movie where, you know, Freddie Mercury, Rami Malek's like, you know, well, that's this way it's going to be. You know, there were moments where it was just a little too cheeky.
It's oversimplified in order to tell the story, and whereas I would have loved a much more in-depth kind of, you know, really creative, really interesting, and delve into, you know, what made him what he was. It was a very surface biopic, but it was also sanctioned by the band, and they're going to give you probably the most sanitized version of the movie. Having said that, that last, you know, 15-20 minutes of the movie is really incredible and powerful and has its effect. But you could actually watch that Live Aid performance now online, and it's the actual one.
Yeah.
And it's remarkable.
Well, and I noticed some of the things that you pointed out, like the Pepsi cup, you know,
they recreated
it. Piano that's exactly from that era and so forth. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
The other thing, the fact that Black Panther got in there, I think, is pretty awesome. It is the first comic book movie to ever be nominated for Best Picture in the Academy Awards. And I actually kind of would be delighted and happy if it won, because I think it is a kind of a sea change movie for our time. So it would be really interesting. But it, as pointed out in my podcast, Snark Monkey, Oscar Reactions and Predictions, available now anywhere you get your podcasts. That is literally the only nomination God. And so it seems like just kind of an acknowledgement, but nobody's going to take it that seriously.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's, you know, it's an honor just to get nominated.
Well, it is. And you know what? The folks at Marvel, they're sitting in their offices counting all that money going, oh, we got an Oscar what? A what? An Oscar? Oh, that's nice.
Right.
$8 jillion and $3 billion, $8 jillion and $4 billion. I mean, that thing is still racking up dollars.
Yeah.
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 So. Roma's good. I would like to see Roma win. I think that's the most powerful movie I've seen in some time. It's incredible.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's on the Netflix.
Yeah?
Easy access.
All right. Is it going to be?
It's in black and white, and it's got subtitles. There is a sad part. There are three moments in Roma that I was choking back big old deep sobs. It is a very emotional experience.
I thought you were going to say choking back something.
What were you choking back? What?
I don't know.
What was I choking back, Andy? Come on, let's. Hey, we're supposed to be on it, you know. We're
Larry,
supposed to be friends here.
What about the Grammys? Do you give a shit? Are you up on new music?
I don't think anybody gives a shit about the Oscars or the Grammys. I mean, the answer is no. I tell you, the one artist that I recognize in the mix that I care about is Brandi Carlile. And herself.
I think the joke could win.
And that would make me so happy, because that is one of the most powerful songs that I've heard.
It's no
and,
joke.
And watched. And neither was that.
What?
Brandi Carlile, The Joke, is one of the most amazing songs I've heard in years.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that's going to be interesting to watch. And also,
I don't even know who's nominated
for. I think that Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, yeah.
They're up for four, including Best New Artist. I think they get Best New Artist.
Yeah, they're really fun. They're really interesting. I would love, and that's just good old rockin'. That's a kind of a throwback. That's not fair.
It's over the top 70s Led Zeppelin-y kind of thing.
Yeah, it's got that, but it's not. I mean, it's kind of, and those kind of bands come along every once in a while. I remember how everybody was excited about Wolf Mother for like five minutes, and then it was like, where's Wolf Mother now? But they're really interesting and fun, and I like what they're doing. So it'd be fun to see them get some stuff.
Yeah. I like to see somebody besides Drake win everything.
Yeah, who you got? You got your Post Malones and your Janelle Monáe's, who's really fantastic, and you got your Black Panther soundtrack in there, which is really interesting, which, by the way, that's a really good soundtrack. And that's, what's his name? Kendrick Lamar.
Ah.
He's extremely talented.
He's very talented.
Love him. So, yeah. So there's some stuff in there, but I don't know. I was just actually, my wife was ranting on the phone. If you ever want to see Sharla get like the hackles up on her, talk to her about award shows. She thinks it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
You said hackles up, and you made it like you made this motion, like a hump on her back.
It's that bad.
Which really conjured something horrible. Yeah. I've never seen her look that
just,
way.
She arches her back, she spits venom, and her hackles are up. she hates the whole idea of award shows. That awarding, because she's an artist, awarding people for their art seems so ridiculous to her. And I don't have any great argument about that. I agree with it, except I've been such a movie nerd for such a long time that I can't help but watch it. I kind of love watching it. I love arguing about it. But is it relevant to anything that anybody cares about? It's just a big pat on the back for the industry. The only thing I do like about it is the fact that there are people behind the scenes who work so hard in the technical categories, you know, sound editing, mixing, effects, makeup, hair, and those kind of things. They do get their moment in the sun, and that's great because those are really hardworking craftsmen. And
it's great that they get their moment in the sun because they're very pasty people.
It's true. Talk about indoor kids. Woof!
626-657-6428. Do you know what that number is, Larry?
I do indeed.
What is it?
That's the number here at the old, what?
That's the Ginny O Butterball Turkey Lot.
No, sorry.
No, it's 626-657-6428. That is the YAF line.
Yep.
Amok PM hat.
Do we have some YAFers?
We've got a couple of phone calls. Did you want to hear them?
Go ahead, caller.
Should we go through them?
Yeah, I got a little time before I have to head off to exotic Pomona.
Let's have a little listen. What's going on at Pomona?
Hey, guys, this is Marion.
Oh, wait.
I'm not hearing it through the thing.
Whoa. Hey, baby. Got to figure out why that's not happening. That's a real pooper.
You got that thing potted up?
I thought so.
Do you have that thing in the thing?
I thought I had the thing in the thing with the deal. Somebody's been in here monkeying with shit.
Uh-oh. Do you have a monkey?
Oh. Here we go. Start it over.
Hey, guys. This is Mary in Simi Valley. Love the show. Been listening to you guys for a while since the sound. Anyway, you asked about Mott the Hoople. Here it is. They originally were touring and recording as Doc Thomas Group, or also known as the Shakedown Sound, and later as Silence. And then while in prison on a drug offense, Stevens had read the Willard Manis novel, Mott the Hoople,
yes,
about an eccentric who works in a circus freak show and decided to use it as the band's name. The rest of the group agreed, not really willingly, to change the name, and they did that in 1969. So, there you go. Mott the Hoople. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Mary. That was my guess. I knew it was a novel, or a character in a novel.
Yeah.
But thanks for setting us straight on that.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for looking up that Wikipedia page, since these lazy asses were just...
do you like trivia?
Sure.
Okay.
You asking me?
I think we're about to get some.
All right.
Hi, this is George from Long Beach again. I really enjoyed the last episode there. That was a lot of fun. Now I'm here for the Magic Castle trivia. So here's the trivia question. Can you name a resident magician that lived or virtually lived at the Magic Castle? Okay, now I'll give you a story about the Magic Castle before we'll end up with the answer.
Oh, George.
Turns out the hostess, the one that is in the reception area, I believe it was Jane Lawton, but I'm not sure. Anyway, on the night of July 20th, 1969,
we're gonna hear all this
she brought in a portable black and white TV set. Of course, a portable black and white TV set at that time was like 20 pounds. Anyway, she set it up there by the reception desk so she could watch, of course, what was happening that night, the lunar landing. Anyway, Milt Larson and Di Vernon walked in, and Milt saw the TV and wondered what was going on, and she explained about the lunar landing, and Milt got excited, and he grabbed the TV, and he took it into the Magic Castle, of course, leaving the hostess there fuming because she brought her own TV in to watch it. Anyway, Di Vernon was still there, so she sent Di Vernon to go get Milt Larson to give the TV back. So he went, got Milt Larson, got the TV back, and Milt was saying, "Well, this is a big deal." And Di Vernon said, "Yeah, it was a big deal too when the Wright brothers flew." See, Di Vernon was 75 at that time, which makes him 9 years old when the Wright brothers first flew. So from the first flight to landing on the moon, 66 years. Okay, so back to who is a resident magician. The first one was Jay Osay. And then, of course, Di Vernon was virtually living there in the later years of his life, known as the Professor. In fact, the Professor is still there. Well, at least his ashes are. And that is the Magic Castle trivia. Until next time, talk to you later.
Wow, thank you, Paul Harvey.
Thanks, George.
Yeah.
That was 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Yeah. That's more than the Magic Castle minute.
Do we have a new sub-feature built with it? Is there a podcast within the podcast we need to let George do?
I think it's become that.
George, I challenge you to come up with a Magic Castle trivia story every single week.
And I challenge you to come up with one that's shorter.
Nope. I figure the longer the better. Infinitely more detail.
Mm-hmm.
George, thank you for that. It gave me a chance to drink my water. Very hydrated now.
Want one more?
Sure. Another one from George?
Yeah. Well, this is... No. Okay. This is Michael calling back. Had a trivia question for Josh and I last time. Let's see who got it right.
All right.
Hey there, artificial friends. Michael from Whittier calling back. Sorry I left you hanging on the Steve Miller trivia, but Andy, you got it correct. It is Boz Skaggs, who went to the same school as Steve Miller in Texas. I also wanted to throw out a recommendation for the new Weezer album and their cover of Mr. Blue Sky. It's actually pretty damn good, and I recommend giving it a good listen. And I am in a Hawaiian shirt today because it's Friday. keep up the good work, and hopefully the whole gang will be in there sometime soon. But if not, I'll keep enjoying listening to Andy and Josh. All right, later, guys.
Nice. Thanks for that, Mike.
Yeah, the Teal album came out this week. They dropped it like out of nowhere. Weezer did, and put it on YouTube and Spotify. It's the only place it's available. And it's a covers album. They've got a new album called The Black Album due March 1st.
Does this have Africa on it as well?
They included the
Toto's Africa,
cover, Africa.
And Mr. Blue Sky. I wonder what other covers are on there.
Billie Jean from Michael Jackson. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for... Basically our hot rotation on
K-Earth.
Not kidding. Sweet Dreams by Eurythmics. Take on Me by Aha. Uh-huh. They also have Paranoid... and Scrubs, the TLC song.
Nice.
It's an eclectic but largely 80s-oriented group. And they are also, the album cover art is a teal backdrop, kind of like similar to what they've done with the Green Album, etc. But they look like they're all dressed in Miami Vice.
Nice.
Pastels and pushed-up sleeves.
Paranoid. By Garbage or by Black Sabbath?
I'm pretty sure it's the Black Sabbath cover. Oh, I haven't. You know what? That's the one I haven't listened to.
I think I'm Paranoid is the Garbage song. So it has to be Black Sabbath.
It's got to be Black Sabbath.
Nice.
Yeah, odd little collection.
Rivers Cuomo is an odd duck, but
they saw a resurgence of interest in Weezer by doing a one-off cover of Toto's Africa. It got play on the radio.
Right.
So they must have figured, let's do some, and they're actually, they're pretty faithful adaptations of the original songs, just sound like a rock band like Weezer kind of playing them. It's really bizarre.
Well, they're smart to do it. And yeah. What was the... they did for the Cars movie, they did, was it You Might Think? They did a cover of a Cars song. I think it was You Might Think for the Cars movie, like a decade ago.
Yeah.
Was it 8 years ago?
Yeah.
10 years ago? Anyway, they did that and, you know, exposed themselves to a whole new, you know, Silas knows Weezer because of that.
And Rascal Flatts.
Yes.
Well, poor kid.
626-657-6428 if you have trivia about Magic Castle or any comedy club, really. Or Magic Emporium.
And if you have a 2 to 5 minute story to tell about that comedy club, bring it on.
Larry.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you made it. Why do you have to go to Pacoima, can I ask?
I'm going to the Pomona Fairplex for whatever is going on there
Pomona,
today.
Pomona, not Pacoima.
No, Pomona. For whatever's going on there today that I'm making an appearance at. Pretty sure it's a Hot Rod show?
Okay.
NHRA Winter Nationals going on?
It sounds like it.
All right.
Nice.
I've got my information chief in the car. You want me to run and get it?
If you see Uncle Joe out there, give him a howdy.
I sure will. Is there a good chance I'm going to do that?
I don't know. He
does that. In his garage these days. Yeah.
You guys did talk to each other, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He thanked you for the gig?
He did, actually. And he should have.
Yes. How can people get a hold of you?
Let's see. My phone number is 81... Wait a minute. I'm on Twitter, at Larry_Morgan, and on the Instagram, on the gram, as the kids say, the Larry Morgan, if you'd like to follow me there.
All right.
How about you, Andy?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to be gotten hold of by my...
Short hairs. I don't know.
By my Twitter handle, Andy_Chanley.
Mm-hmm.
Or Instagram, follow me there at, what is it, Andy Chanley. And I'm on the Facebook.
Yeah.
At
But you need to step up your...
DJ Andy Chanley.
You need to step up your social game, man.
Yeah.
Be a little more active.
I hate it.
Well,
I hate doing it.
Of course you hate it. Do it anyway.
Oh,
everybody's doing it.
I know. Come I on. Should be better at it, but I'm just not.
Just play a little song for us once in a while. Do a little something, something. Show us a little behind the scenes at the radio station. Let us see pictures of your food. Show us your bruised hip bone. Something.
You want to see my bruised hip bone?
No.
Do you want to see my incision? It's healing up nicely.
Kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Right after this. Did you want to see a picture of mid-surgery?
I don't think so.
You sure?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Is it exposed bone?
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing.
I do not. Let's, for the record, say...
It's beautiful, rounded ball joint.
Mm-mm. Let's just, for the record, state, I never want to see your exposed bone.
My exposed ball? All right.
Either one.
Fair enough.
All right. Are we singing? People that you know don't like you. And your treasured friendships and tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That was so nice.
That was nice.
That's nice. Bye, Larry.
Come up on the road to Pomona.